D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason is not here yet. Adam Finnegan, David Janes with you, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason will be along shortly.
I can't wait to hear.
Had some car trouble.
Right. But D-Mace usually has a good story about the car trouble. And, of course, we all can appreciate the frustration of a flat tire, which I believe was part of the equation here.
That was the reason for the delay.
Yes.
He has a flat tire. And he had to change cars.
But you notice he didn't say, I got to change the tire, because I don't think any of us really like to do that. Even if, like, I believe I could do it. I just don't like to do it.
I am not.
And I usually, the last few times I've tried to do it, I have run into some issues. Like, the lug nuts are just on there too tight. I cannot get it off. Or something my technique is slow and it's slowing the process down. It's hot outside or it's cold outside. I've just had all kinds of problems. But I have been very lucky that somebody has come along just in the area that has come to my rescue and said, you're doing it wrong. Or here, let me help you. And as soon as that person says, can I help you with that? I said, yes, go right ahead. Here you go.
I am not afraid to admit that I do not know how to change a tire. I just pulled out my AAA card, which says that I'm a 41-year member. By the way, I'm 36 years old, but I am a 41-year member.
So you're going to be a member for the next 41 years?
No, my family has been members of AAA for 41 years.
So you jumped on the bandwagon of your family.
I had 5 years of loyalty before I was even born, according to this card. Nevertheless,
I have the phone number.
I rely on the experts
to
help change my flat
tires. I'm proud to say that I have done it, so I can be in the club that says, yes, I know how to change a tire.
I've definitely
I don't prefer to do
exactly.
it. So we'll have to get where D-Mace is on this.
Derek will join us
Derek
shortly.
For sure is a AAA guy.
You think so?
For sure.
You think so?
Like, he knows how to change a tire, D-Mace? But like, he will definitely call AAA.
Yeah. And he has apparently the ability to switch cars. I don't know how he needed somebody to help him out with that, right? Or do you think it was just when he got to his car this morning, it was flat, or he started down the road, realized we had a problem, and was able to come back? We have to get the story here.
We will get full details.
Full details.
Full details, full details from Derek Mason as soon as he arrives. So up on the screen in the studio, First Take is on, and in the bottom left-hand corner.
Oh, we have the countdown.
31 hours, 55 minutes, and 6 seconds. Now 5 seconds. Now 4 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Now 3 seconds. Now
oh my gosh.
2 seconds.
Can you feel it? The
now
tension.
Now 1 second. 31 hours and 55 minutes. 31 hours and 55 minutes. Now it's 31, 54, 55.
Can now, I just tell you?
Yes.
There are a lot of really good baseball games on today. There's great NHL playoffs. There's great NBA playoffs. This is a great underrated time to watch sports on TV. You do not have to sit there in anticipation of the draft.
But we do
we
anticipate
don't have to
the
do
draft.
It.
And speaking of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I do want to give a quick shout out. I want to give a shout out to Carolina Hurricanes fans. Yesterday, Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, who is clearly into him because of his personality.
Oh, yes.
For
and
sure.
And how old is she?
24.
24, I believe, yeah.
I think she's 25. Let's give her
Did she turn 25?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, okay.
Nevertheless.
And Bill Belichick is 70-something?
Bill Belichick and his child bride were at the Carolina Hurricanes playoff game against the New Jersey Devils. And he was wearing a Carolina blue jacket because he is the
head represents
coach
the Tar Heels.
Of the North Carolina Tar Heels.
In the triangle.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, the Carolina Hurricanes share an arena with NC State, a bitter rival of North Carolina. So when Bill Belichick and his 20-something girlfriend were shown on the scoreboard, they booed him. And I just want to say, bravo. The ACC allegiances do not die during the offseason. Bill Belichick, you can't show up to Raleigh wearing a Carolina blue jacket. You can't do it.
So I have a question about this.
Yes.
Because I'm sure there's some North Carolina maybe some Duke fans, maybe some Wake Forest fans. There's probably some people who also align.
Yes.
They align with the Hurricanes. It's the only hockey team anywhere close. So everybody bands together, just like there's Tennessee fans and Vanderbilt fans and Alabama fans that all band together to cheer for the Predators. So I'm sure it was not 100% of the people booing. So if Belichick had come in with a Carolina, of course, Carolina wears red and black, just like NC State is red and black. So that's probably what his dilemma is. He might have just been thinking, I'm just going to stand out in the crowd. Everybody's going to be wearing red. I'm going to be the guy wearing Carolina blue, and I don't care what people think. So if he goes Carolina Hurricane sweatshirt, is he in bounds with that? Would he have avoided getting booed? Or do you think the Carolina people, that like the North Carolina people, would UNC, would have said, what is he doing wearing red? Those are NC State colors. You can't wear that. Like, he could have been in an O-win situation. True?
That's fair. That's fair. By the way, Nate on our text line says, it's not surprising Vingan calls AAA for a flat tire. I'm not afraid to admit it, that I need a professional's help to change a flat tire. I'm sorry.
We're not going to shame AAA calls.
Right.
Yeah. So take that, Nate. I don't know what you can't do. What if I came to your place of business and told you all about all the things that you can't do?
We all have our strengths and weaknesses, right?
Right.
Right.
And my strength is that I am not afraid to admit that I need help changing
secure.
A flat tire.
You're
speaking of flat tires, Derek
secure
Mason.
Secure than your own skin.
Yes.
So would you have not booed Belichick?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy.
You would have booed Belichick regardless, because
yes.
you're a hardcore anti-UNC anything.
Yes.
So even if he came with the Hurricanes jersey,
right,
he would not have avoided your wrath.
My wrath.
I've often wondered that. I saw Kevin Stallings one time when he was coaching Vanderbilt's basketball team watch a College World Series game that involved Vanderbilt. First time they'd ever been to the College World Series. But the first game they played was against North Carolina. And the catcher for North Carolina was Jacob Stallings. So that's a dilemma, right? So what do you wear to the game? So he famously said, I'm not wearing the colors of either school. I'm just here as a dad. I'm not wearing Vanderbilt. I'm not wearing North Carolina. I'm just here to watch my son and Vanderbilt play.
By the way, Nate texted back in and said, I'm not a good writer, so you can crush me on that, LOL. Well, thank you for acknowledging that, Nate. Derek Mason is here.
Okay.
We need to know what the
now
heck
we
happened.
Need to, yeah, now we need to find out.
Okay. Willie, well, I will say, you've worked with me the longest. We've had many conversations. And what you said was exactly what happened. I got in my car, and as I'm driving, I get out of my little area. As I'm driving, that light comes
on.
Yep,
we got a warning light.
Technology is so great, because back in the day, we wouldn't have known that. Not
right.
until we got to our other destination, or we heard the whoa, 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 whoa,
right.
whoa. Then we would have known we had a flat tire. But left my area, going down the street, and this light comes on, and it's bright red, and I get out the car.
So it's not the yellow light. It's, hey,
it's
red.
It's
got
red. It's like -6. So I'm like, is it flat? I don't hear anything. So I get out the car. I check. It still has air, but it has a nail in it. So it's so I said, can I make it to work? So I started to go a little bit more, and then the air pressure started to go down a little bit. I said, let me turn around. So I wasn't far enough away from home, so I turned around. Dropped my car off at the house. Luckily, my son was there, so I took his car.
Okay.
And
you had a relief.
Yeah.
You had a relief pitcher in the bullpen.
Had a relief pitcher. So, you know, he told me. He was a little hesitant about giving me his car, too. He was a little hesitant.
He's like, hey, wait a minute. That means I have no wheels.
My wheels are gone. There's another vehicle there.
So that vehicle
was blocked.
He just didn't want you to have his car.
Exactly. Okay. Absolutely. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to say to you what you say to me when you take my car. I'm just going to say, the dash is a $180 on it. I might test it. And as I'm walking out the house, I was like, run.
Well, Derek, we're glad you made
it. Yes, so I'm here.
Just in time.
But by the way, I'm the guy that will notice that there's a nail in the tire and the light's on saying, you got a tire problem, you need to get this fixed. And I'll just keep driving.
I'll make it. That's me.
I'll make it.
I think I can make it.
It's not about
making it. It's okay now.
It's not about making it. It's making it back.
Your creamer,
and then the next day, it's completely flat. Yes. Or one of these days, it's totally gone, and you're high and dry.
You're Kramer with the gas tank, right? Seeing how far you can go on the empty gas
tank.
Well,
I'm definitely Kramer with the gas tank. I'll tell you that right now.
We are now, what is it now, 31 hours, 47 minutes, and 56 seconds from the NFL draft.
The
and yesterday, we heard from the Titans Brain Trust. Mm-hmm. Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and Brian Callahan. And the most newsworthy thing that they said is that they are locked in at number one. Don't bother calling other teams to trade up to number one. Remember yesterday we were talking about the door was never opened. Now the door has been slammed shut. It's been locked. It's been deadbolted. Their credenza has been pushed up against the door to make sure that nobody can get in. Nobody's taking that number one pick from the Tennessee Titans, and we all expect it to be in 31 hours, 47 minutes, and 14 seconds, Cam Ward. But there were some other noteworthy things that Borgonzi and Brinker said, and there were two comments, one from each of them, that I think caused a lot of angst in Titans world. Let's start with Mike Borgonzi about never wanting to force a need in the draft.
Both of you, Mike, you said you want to be directed by need, but there's clearly not a top number one edge rusher on this team. You're clearly thin at wide receiver. How are you not directed by need given those two key positions and where you stand?
Yeah, and that's part of, you know, staying true to the board. I think you're trying to marry up, you know, the need with the value too. You never want to force a need in the draft. And for us, you know, we do have a lot of needs. So I think it's important for us to stay true to the board and really take the best available player, you know, at that pick. But for us, you know, like I said, we don't want to force needs here and force a pick based on that.
So that was Mike Borgonzi. Mm-hmm. Chad Brinker spoke to the same thing during the next question.
Needs not directing you at those two positions.
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel the same way. I mean, you want to take the best player available. Everybody says that. Not everybody follows that. The times in my career where I've seen we've made mistakes, either earlier in my career to even some of my mentors, when you kind of reach on a player based off need. Like Mike just said, I mean, we got a lot of needs. So we're just going to trust the process. We're going to trust the board. We're going to let the board talk to us. The work has been done. We're prepared. Now, the draft is unpredictable at times, and I know we're picking at the top, so maybe a little bit more of an understanding of who might be there or who might not be there. But at the same time, we're prepared for whatever comes at us, and we just got to take the best player.
They've got to take the best player. You never want to force a need in the draft. And then, serendipitously, Chip from Mount Juliet texts in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and asks the question that many Titans fans are asking after hearing those comments. Chip says, tell me this. How can Cam Ward be drafted by the Titans when they said they aren't drafting by need, but drafting the best available player? Ward is not even close to being among the top players in the draft.
This is what we've been setting up for weeks now, right? This has been the central question for weeks.
Mm-hmm. Correct. But hearing that from Brinker and Borgonzi days before the draft, when we've talked about the big boards and where Cam Ward is on the big boards and how, based on those rankings, he should not be the number one pick in the NFL draft. But as we get closer, again, we are 31 hours, 44 minutes, and 16 seconds away. I'm just going to keep a running tally of that throughout the show. Now that we're that close, I think it's really that. I think there's that fear, that feeling of impending doom that Jared Stillman was talking about yesterday as a lifelong Titans fan. I think now that the draft is here, I think that angst has been ratcheted up to 11.
The existential question is, mm-hmm. doesn't every fan base pretty much have that fear for the most part, unless you are, you know, a Yankees fan or, you know, a bandwagon fan and just follow teams that are good. But this is D-Mace, you were saying we asked the question on the air to one another. Like, are you making the case that Cam Ward is the best player on your board? Or are you just, you know, good? Well, I mean, that's I guess what they're saying is Cam Ward is the best on their board.
And again, it's it's perception is reality in this case. And the Titans have helped with this perception. Everyone out there perceives the Titans as being a team that doesn't evaluate the way they need to. Hence, the first round picks that are no longer on this team, or guys that have busted, whether it be the free agency, more importantly, the draft. And they look at the Titans and they say, well, we don't trust that you are going to pick the right person. So you think the Cam Ward, if there were more people that thought the Cam Ward was worthy of the number one pick, because teams are not coming, because here's the crazy part about it. Teams are not coming out saying that. There's no GM on the record that has come out and said, unless I'm missing something, but there's no GM that has come out and said Cam Ward wasn't, he's not worthy of the number one pick. Now, we get these, anonymous sources. I get that.
There was one GM who, according to Adam Schefter, said that he did not have a first round grade on any of the quarterbacks.
Right.
But that's one.
But that's the unique thing about this, and that's why it's a fair topic. It's
exactly.
A fair topic because the experts that do this every year, you choose the ones that you think are the best at it. Mm-hmm. There's dozens of them. None of them have him as their best guy when you're looking at straight up talent on the board. It is so if you are going simply on, quote, best player available, you would not pick Cam Ward.
No, it's yes, if we're looking at it from a group standpoint, but the Titans, Borgonzi and Brinker said it, they have a bunch of holes that they need to fill, a bunch of needs. And, you don't want to draft necessarily based upon need because that may have you doing something that you shouldn't be doing. But not only do you have a need at this position, you, in your mind, your organization believes he's the best guy for your organization. That's all that matters. Again, it goes back to you not trusting the Tennessee Titans. It's not that you don't trust, Cam Ward to come in here and be a good quarterback. You just don't trust the Titans. So if that's the case, you don't trust the Titans that they would develop anybody, let alone the quarterback. But I think it's easier to accept not developing a DB or wide receiver or offensive lineman than it is a quarterback. The Titans believe, if indeed the stories are true, that they will draft Cam Ward number one. People, they believe he's the best player in the draft at a position of need, a position that will get you closer and quicker to winning than any other position out there. So, listen, I don't understand why people are upset about this. I don't think nobody thinks he's a horrible quarterback. Everybody thinks he's a good quarterback. So why are you upset to have it? We haven't had a good quarterback in a very long time, okay? Ryan Tannehill was really the last really good quarterback this team has had. So for a fan base that hasn't had a quarterback and a radio show host that hasn't had a quarterback, why are y'all complaining about a good quarterback, a quarterback that everybody believes will be good in this league? Why are y'all fussing about that?
It's a dilemma. It's a dilemma because he's not.
Nobody
even has Cam Ward as, two or three, or it's debatable.
He's around seven or eight.
He's clearly down below number one. So it's not the Titans' fault that they're in this position.
Yes, it is.
Well, yes, it is. but it's not the Titans can't control who comes out in the draft. And their need at quarterback, the fact that he's the only quarterback that looks like he's worthy, really, of a high first-round pick. Let's say that, a high first-round pick. But he's definitely not the ideal 1-1, first overall.
There's been a lot of other guys, not ideal 1-1s that did bad and that did good.
But they have admitted themselves. They have a lot of needs, which would include edge rusher and which would include a dominant cornerback, right?
615-737-1025. Why don't you all answer the question that Derek just asked? 615-737-1025. We've been doing our Cam Ward temperature checks throughout the week. Now that we are,
I feel like the temperature just went up a little bit.
It did.
It did.
Now that we are 31 hours, 38 minutes, and 17 seconds away from the start of the NFL draft, let's get your Cam Ward temperature check. 615-737-1025. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
Let me get in here for a second. And Jamie, I'll get in here with a question.
Oh, no.
And this is a question to you, Jamie, to Cody, to everybody in the country, to everybody covering the draft. Are we allowed to talk about Cam Ward? Is it okay if I do that? Are they going to pull us off the air if we don't have a segment that is exclusively about one of the Colorado guys? My gosh, Cam Ward is the least covered number one overall pick in history. And he's not some forgotten about old lineman from some dopey program. He's a quarterback from Miami, and you are pulled off the air by the FAA if you even talk about him. I don't understand what's going on here. The Jaguars took Trayvon Walker a few years ago. I'm not sure he's been mentioned in a television segment since then. And he was more talked about than Cam Ward. I'm old enough to remember 2013, Eric Fisher was taken number one out of Central Michigan, a lineman from the MAC. And he was Peyton Manning compared to Cam Ward. I get it. I understand why. Maybe the Titans don't jump off the marquee for you. Maybe there's not a fight and everything has to be a debate and we have to fill segments with fighting. Should it be this guy or this guy? And there is no debate. But isn't that a credit to Cam Ward? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we at least take one hot second and say, wow, this Cam Ward's guy is pretty good. And shouldn't we know just a little bit more about him? We know a lot about Shedeur Sanders. I know Cam Ward's father is not a football coach that's very famous and had one saying we used to have video games and his own shoe and everything. I know his father's also named Calvin and his wife Patrice. They go to every single one of Cam Ward's games. Cam Ward's favorite food are Pop-Tarts. On Cam Ward's pregame playlist is Kodak Black. And you know what? Maybe the draft story isn't that compelling. His story is compelling. Mm. Understand this. The guy that no one's talking about was a zero-star recruit out of high school, just like the reigning MVP, Josh Allen. He went to Incarnate Word, not for some cup of coffee before he entered the portal. He was there for 2 years playing, taking hits, growing. And then he jumps up, and he's now the number one overall pick. This is an incredible story. And the story about the story is the audacity of people to say that the draft starts at pick number three. No, it starts at one with Cam Ward, the best player in the draft who will be drafted number one overall. And I'm sorry, we're going to have to pay some sort of fine or fee because we talked about him on the air the week of the draft. Apologies. I'm going to do it again later in the week, too. It's great to be back.
That was Kyle Brandt of NFL Network with an impassioned plea for Cam Ward. Speaking of impassioned, our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's just roll through some of these. One texter says, D-Mace, just say it. You're okay with them reaching for a quarterback. No need to sell it that it's not a reach. Just admit it's a reach and hope it works out. One texter says, he's the best quarterback. Quarterback is the most important position. We need a quarterback. One texter says, people are upset because the Titans also just told us Levis was a franchise guy when everyone around the league didn't believe in him, and you know how that went. Dave in Kentucky, you can get a Cam Ward anywhere in the draft or free agency. Travis Hunter is a can't-miss athlete. The Titans are messing this up. One texter, Cam is a better prospect than Caleb Williams, in my opinion. His mentality is far superior. So a wide range of opinions.
Well, listen, if you could get a Cam Ward anywhere in the draft, it would have been Cam Ward's. The Titans would have moved out of the first pick of the draft. They felt they could have got a Cam Ward anywhere. When you say that, that is just a total disrespect to what he has been able to accomplish in his 4 years in college. Two at Incarnate Word, and then Washington State, and then what he was able to do at the University of Miami. I'm not sure. Listen, Titan fans, y'all are right to be upset and frustrated. I'm frustrated with the team the way they have been. But I mean, again, there's not a Caleb Williams coming. Guys that you just knew, like, okay, yeah, he's the surefire number one guy. Everybody knows it. He's not projected to be Joe Burrow. He's not projected to be Jaden Daniels. But this is a good young quarterback. And you just hope that, and this is probably where it really truly lands or lies. You just hope that the Titans can do a good job at developing him. You got a best quarterback, but if you don't develop him, either he's not going to last or it's going to take longer for him to sort of reach that point where he can lead a team.
Willie, I want to read from a column from Gentry Estes in the Tennessean because I think he hits on what a lot of Titans fans are feeling. Gentry Estes writes, quote, "We've grown so accustomed to the Tennessee Titans botching important decisions in recent years in the NFL draft and otherwise that it has become instinctive during the franchise's slide to the bottom for fans to expect the worst, to listen for that one statement that causes doubt, knowing it'll get brought back up endlessly when things don't work out." He mentions the quotes that we played at the top of the show. He continues, Gentry Estes does, quote, "Nearly all pre-draft rankings have worn down the list a bit in terms of top prospects. Mm-hmm. Not too far down, mind you, but far enough to where one could easily surmise that the Titans drafting him number one overall would indeed be a reach that was based on a need at quarterback. So to accept the Titans' own comments as authentic leaves only two possibilities. Either they are going to shock everyone and select Travis Hunter, or they truly do see Ward as the best player available in the 2025 NFL draft. For the Titans' sake, I hope the latter is true."
Well, I think they were – one thing they can convey yesterday, because they can't come out and say, we're going to take Cam Ward. I guess they could have. Mm-hmm. I guess they could have said, we're taking Cam Ward. They all but did that yesterday. Because they didn't shy away from any questions, mm-hmm. and everybody kind of couched their questions like, Teron, if you take a quarterback, mm-hmm. they prefaced the questions. Yeah. There were a lot of people like that. I think they showed how much they are aligned in this decision, right? There was no, well, who has the final say? Mm-hmm. They said, we have a consensus. You can stop calling. We've had a few offers, but this is what we really believe in. So that's that part of it. But I think it's a tough argument to really sell based, unless you're telling me everybody else is wrong. Mm-hmm. And you might. Here's another stat to keep aware of. As part of the equation, right, it's so easy to just say, well, if you want best player available, take the best player available. I don't think it's quite that simple if you want to go nuanced to it. I was listening to, is it called Moving the Change? Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. What's the name of that podcast? Moving the Sticks, I think it's called?
I think it's Moving the Sticks.
Moving the Sticks, okay. Two guys that really are good at this. They've had their job. They've been scouts. They've been talent evaluators for a long time. Both of them agreed that Cam Ward is nowhere near the top of the list.
It is indeed Move the Sticks.
Move the Sticks.
Yes.
They agreed that he's nowhere near the top of the draft as overall talent. He's not number one. He's somewhere 8. He's 10. He's 13. We've done all the consensus of where he lies. But this is also true. Cam Ward is also, by far, the only legitimate, clear-cut, first-round caliber quarterback in this draft. Everybody else who is a quarterback is a question mark, either a reach as a first-round pick, severely flawed. And then they pointed this out. If you go back 10 years, there are only 4 quarterbacks not drafted in the first round that have really done anything of note. Jalen Hurts is one. Brock Purdy is one. I'm trying to remember the other two. We can think about it, but it is extremely rare. Most quarterbacks, by far, the overwhelming percentage of successful quarterbacks were drafted in the first round. Yes, there's an occasional Brock Purdy, an occasional Tom Brady.
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott is one of them for sure. Those guys are very, very rare. So when you need a quarterback and there's a good one there, that's the dilemma that you're in. And so I don't think it's a terrible decision to do this, but I think at the same token, it's the right question to ask, because they clearly feel like this is a quarterback that can be a really good quarterback that they believe in. And even though he is probably not graded as a guy who is best talent at the top, they also pointed out this. this is important to remember.
By the way, one texter says Kirk Cousins. Was Kirk Cousins the other quarterback that not drafted in the first round?
He was one. I moved about
Well, there was also a distinction of all pro or something like that. I guess that's right. Kirk Cousins was not a first round pick, I guess. The other point that I thought was worthwhile, and now I forgot it, but that they pointed out. But I think that's really where it lies, right? Is I think very likely they need to pick high again next year, the Titans. So it was like, do we take the quarterback, the bird in hand right now, and then address everything else next year based on all of the factors here, who's available? Because I think it's going to take a couple years regardless of who you pick.
Gary from Clarksville on our text line says, could it be a possibility that the Titans are employing a smokescreen and end up either trading back or choosing someone else like Travis Hunter? I've said this before. I don't know Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi. This is their first time really up front in terms of the decision-making process. I'm not going to discount the possibility that they are evil geniuses, mad scientists, and that they have the entire league fooled. I'm going to take them at their word that they are not trading the number one pick. It would be a Machiavellian scheme if they were able to pull the wool over everybody's eyes after all of this and trade the pick before tomorrow.
Listen, I just think that this team, let's just say the Titans don't have him number one. Let's say they have a number two. Let's say they are going into this thing and it's close. That it say it's Travis Hunter and Cam Ward, and they have them both close. But they feel that taking a quarterback, even though we got him second, gets us to where we want to get to faster. There are a lot of great DBs out there, and a lot of great wide receivers, and a lot of them were sitting at home. Why? Because they didn't have a quarterback, you know, or they didn't have that guy. So maybe they're thinking is, well, maybe he's not the first overall, but he's our number two, and he's our top quarterback. So we're not going to take Travis Hunter. We're not going to take Abdul Carter, which I wouldn't. The foot just scares me off, especially at number one. But maybe they feel as if. This guy, we believe he's the quarterback. He's going to get us to where we need to go quicker than Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. There are a lot of good teams that have good individual players, but if you don't have that quarterback, a quarterback that can win, he doesn't necessarily have to be an elite quarterback, but if you don't have a quarterback that can win, then it's going to be hard, and until you get that guy, you're going to continue. Ask the Dallas Cowboys. They got players littered everywhere. And look at them. You know, you can ask other places. Minnesota, barely, you know, they got put out in the first round. And they had the best wide receiver in the game.
All right, Adam, before I forget my point again, this is the last one from the Move the Sticks I thought was pertinent here. Very rarely is the number one prospect on the board the most talented overall player in the draft. So this is not the first time this has happened.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction because we have a lot of it. Get in on the action at 615-737-1025. You can join our very own Robbie Stanley and 1025 The Game from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Coleman Tractor in White House this Saturday for Kubota Orange Days. There will be exclusive deals on compact tractors, zero turns, and more with special financing available. Sale runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. with demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 to 1. That's at the Coleman Tractor of White House located at 3631 Highway 31 West this Saturday. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Nashville's best deal this week is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey has been waiting patiently. Trey, thank you for holding. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, buddy. Hey, I was just want to say, you know, like the other day when TD filled in, we was talking about Cam, and he said that 6 and 11, if he's, you know, is successful, would that be, you know, a good year? And, you know, I was just like, you know, I'll concede, you know, if he does well, I'll concede, you know, and I, if they decide to take him, you know, all I could do is back the young man. You know, I think Derek probably is on the same page as that. But I just wanted to ask y'all, would you, if you were GM in Bergonzi's position, would you make the pick? And I want to start off with Derek with that, and then Alan and Willie can answer. I just want to know because y'all haven't answered it, but I just want to know. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Trey. By the way, if they go 6 and 11, they would double their win total from 3 to 6.
But is that good? Like,
yeah.
Is that, would, I mean, would you? This is a question for the summer. Is, would yes. you rather have them win 3 or 4 than pick in the top 3 to 5 next year? Or win a surprisingly high amount, 6 or 7. The over-under is probably going to be 5.5 at best, yeah. right? Well, let's table that for the offseason because would you rather them pick 11th or 12th or 3rd or 4th?
So let's answer the question that Trey asked. If we were Mike Borgonzi, would we make the pick? And he wanted Derek to start first. So, Derek, if you were Mike Borgonzi, would you be taking Cam Ward
overall? Yeah, I would.
Okay. I lean towards yes as well. I seriously believe that Cam Ward, I've mentioned this a few times over the course of the past number of months, I seriously believe that Cam Ward is being dragged down by the rest of the quarterback class. That people see this quarterback class as significantly weaker than recent history. Recent quarterback classes, last year, for example, gets brought up quite a bit. And where would Cam Ward rank if he were in the quarterback class last year? I seriously believe that Cam Ward is being slighted because the quarterbacks in this class are worse than in previous classes. So I'm also of the mind that it's just as risky because we've had some texters say, well, throw Levis back out there and they'll be bad again and we'll be right back in this position next year. First of all, you don't know that. There could be other teams worse than you next season, as hard as it is to believe. And it just feels like it could be a vicious cycle because let's say the Titans do that. Let's say the Titans did take Travis Hunter and they went back to Will Levis and they went 3-14 again and they had the number one pick in the draft and there were and the top quarterback in the class is Arch Manning. But there are questions about Arch Manning. Hey, Arch Manning, he's number 8 on the big board. Arch Manning, he's number 10 on the big board. Are you just going to say, well, let's think again and go to 2027? I just think that if you have the opportunity to draft a quarterback that you believe in and the Titans seem to believe in him, I say go for it. I'm not like pounding my fist on the table. He's a slam dunk. But I think there's just as much risk passing on Cam Ward as there is taking him.
But again, I think it's not necessarily the player because, you know, Will and I were talking off air, you know, at during the first break. And I think if the Titans were to move down to 2 or 1, say they move down to 2 to 3, and probably got a third round pick in place of the one they don't have, and they still drafted Cam Ward, I think people would be okay. People would be okay with that. Okay, yeah, we still got our quarterback. We were able to move down, but we were able to get a third-round pick for it.
That would be my answer to Trey's question. But what, I would have played it because this is what I see from afar. I haven't done the research, but my philosophy, I have been won over by the research that's been done that your probabilities are better by trading down and getting more picks. This organization desperately needs more picks. So I would they've clearly fallen in love with Cam Ward. He has won them over. They believe in Cam Ward. For me, I would trade down even if it were just a notch or two and take what I could get. And if Cam Ward's still there, sure, I'd take him. But if somebody wants to jump up and take Cam Ward and I could live with Hunter or Abdul Carter, that's what I would do. That is my answer to Trey's question. I would trade down and take what I could get and then take the best player available.
Matt in Columbia says, I'll make this easy. Any team that needs a quarterback would definitely take him if he was available.
And that's the way I feel. If Cleveland was they needed a quarterback.
Which they do.
Which they do, but they may not think that, okay, we can survive with Joe Flacco, or we can survive with, you know, any other quarterback that we have.
Right. They're not willing to jump up there and give up a lot.
Yeah, they're not willing to give up a lot.
Which should tell you something.
But if he fell to him at two, I'm pretty sure they would probably rethink it. Like, oh, we can get him at two. And I'm thinking any other team, the Giants, you know, if Cam Ward fell to them, the New Orleans Saints, if Cam Ward fell to them, or if they were able to move up a little bit to still be able to get him because the Titans didn't, you know, chose not to draft him first overall. I think sometimes we are looking at this from the standpoint of he's not a good player. Good teams, consistently good teams, are good teams. Why? Because they got good players. And then, you know, hey, listen, I know you got to have that guy at quarterback that's going to win you games. But even having that guy at quarterback, if you don't have a good team, you're not going to win many games, or you're only going to get so far. So, again, it goes back to this is a good player. We're adding good players to our team.
A good player is what you say. To me, it's about maximizing the value of the first pick.
When I say good player, I'm just saying in general. Like, he may be a great player, but we're adding someone to our roster that is going to bring value. Whether we draft him at one, two, or three, he's still the guy that we're going to draft. No one wants to move up, so hey, we'll take him because that's how we feel it. We feel whereas he may not be the best player in the draft, but he's high enough on our board that we're going to take him.
This is a question that I would love to know from all of you and from Willie and Derek as we prepare for Jonathan Hutton on the other side at 615-737-1025. I'm curious what the threshold is for a reach. So let's use a big board as an example. I believe Mel Kiper Jr. has Cam Ward at number 6 on his final big board. So if the Titans pick at 1 and they take the 6th best prospect according to Mel Kiper, it's a difference of 5. Like, what's the threshold for a reach? Is it 5? Is it more than 5? Is anything within 5 safe from being a reach? I'm curious what you guys consider the threshold for a reach.
And it's, let's use Teron's term, quarterback tax. The quarterback tax would indicate that the reach it would be bigger for a quarterback. That's what they're doing. I have said from the start, so I'm not going to go off of what I've been saying from the beginning. And look, I think Cam Ward could turn out great. Nobody knows. But I don't think they're maximizing the value of the first overall pick. I don't think they have to take a quarterback this year, even though it's he's clearly the best quarterback available. So I'm not answering the question, but I'm giving more of the answer to Trey's question. I believe that they are compromising a little bit the value of the first overall pick by not taking the best player available or not trading down, even if it were just for an extra third-round pick for one or two notches.
But again, it goes back to, yeah, you may think that Cam Ward is the 5th best. You may think, Adam, that he's the 8th best. Somebody else may think that, well, he's the 3rd best.
Jared mentioned on his show yesterday that Pro Football Focus, I don't know who wrote it, that Pro Football Focus had him at number 20, which seems like an outlier to me.
I'm sure that was an outlier. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. All that matters is this. The people in that building think he's worthy of the number 1 pick. And it seems, you know, from all indications, that they do. The problem is y'all don't trust them. That's what it is. I don't know why. Y'all don't. And people, I understand why. I really do. Again, it's not about the player, it's about who's drafting the player. Because y'all, no matter whether they take Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Genty, anybody, y'all don't feel this organization has proven that they can draft, develop, and retain. Point blank. It has nothing to do with the quarterback. has everything to do with the franchise.
615-737-1025. We'll bring Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow into this conversation coming up next. We'll also continue to take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guests, media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.